Bibles and turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 2. The book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2. And I've been reading in the book of Judges, and this is something that just caught my eye as I was reading it and remembering, and just something that I think is kind of timely as well even for what we would call Memorial Day and all of that type of stuff, because you know, so often we look for somebody that will rise up and help us. Instead of looking to the ones who have already been there. Kind of interesting, isn't it? We get to Memorial Day and we forget. And then we're always looking for some new person to come up and be our deliverer, it seems like. I'll get into that a little more. But let's look at the book of Judges chapter 2, and we will begin in verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, being the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now, Father, again, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that each one of us would see the truth of your Word. And, Lord, I just pray that as we go toward this day of Memorial Day tomorrow, that we would remember. But, Lord, today, help us to remember the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to see and understand the truth of your Word. And Father, we thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we live in a nation that has known the blessings of liberty for many, many years, but there's always been a slow erosion of liberty. And it seems to go in waves. And we've gotten a point in our culture today, and this is really human nature because you see it through the Bible, but you see it in our culture as well. You see our culture where we're looking for somebody to come and stand up and right the things that are wrong with our nation. And yet, we continually vote in people that are detrimental to our nation. We don't take the time to exercise the liberties which are granted us in our Constitution. We forget the sacrifice of blood that our founding fathers and those after them have got to gain those liberties and to keep those liberties. We had a civil war fought in our nation, which people were fighting for liberties. There were people that were fighting for the liberty of slaves in that war. And there were other people who their idea of liberty is they were fighting for the liberties which they had, which they believed the things they against the encroachments of the federal government at the time. And there was a war fought, and there was a lot of reasons about the Civil War. It wasn't just about slavery, it was about a lot of different things. No doubt slavery was a huge part of that, and I'm not doubting that. But the problem is we take our history and we try to chop it up in little bits that we like to put it at, and we want to forget what the battle was about. We forget those things. We forget the sacrifices of the world wars. Sister Mary talking about her uncle passing away and giving his life in World War II. And we look at those type of things and we forget those sacrifices. We forget our Constitution. We forget our rights, and we put ourselves into bondage because we want to follow what's popular. We forget our founding documents. We forget the sacrifices. And then when things get bad, we look for some political savior to come along and fix them. When the actual solution to the ills of our nation is us learning and or remembering what this nation was, our founding principles of liberty. Most people can't even remember the preamble to the Constitution, much less the Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence, or the Bill of Rights. And we see our nation being like that, but we're not new in that. And a lot of this can be laid at the foot of churches where we've gotten involved so much in pop culture instead of remembering the Word of God. And we look and we see what happened here. You know, long before this passage of Scripture where we're at, Moses came down from the mount and he told the people, he said, "Hey, the Lord's going to be among you. Sanctify yourselves." And the people said to Moses, they said, "Whoa, wait a minute. We don't want the Lord to speak directly to us. We're afraid He will die. That's too much for us. You go speak to the Lord and you come tell us what He said and we'll do it. But we don't want to speak directly to God." And here we are in the book of Judges after the time of Moses has died and they've gotten into the promised land and they're going in and God's delivering the land into their hands as He said He would while Joshua was there. And under the leadership of Joshua, now Joshua has died and here they are. And it says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They began to serve the gods of the people around them. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers in verse 12, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And so God allowed them to reap the consequences. Instead of them vanquishing the nations, they began to be vanquished by the nations. But God is merciful. Isn't God merciful? Amen. Look at what it says if we go on. And He says in verse 16, He said, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that had oppressed them and vexed them." You know, isn't it an amazing thing? They were suffering the consequences of their own sin. They were vexed by their disobedience to God and the consequences of that. And they were under groanings. And then they would turn to God and they would call out and God would raise up a judge. Somebody that would deliver them. We know the names of the judges, right? We could go through them. Samson and Jephthah, Deborah, Ehud, Shamgar, Gideon. And so many different people that God raised up during that time. Othniel, the son of the nephew of Caleb. So many different people that are there that God raised up during that time to deliver them. But invariably, again and again and again and again, God would raise up the judge and the judge would deliver them and the people would do right under the judge. And then when the judge died, or in some cases before the judge even died or passed off the scene, they would go back to their failure. Go back to their disobedience. Go back to their bondage. They would continue to do what God told them. They would go back to doing what God told them not to do instead of continuing with the Lord. And God turned them back over to bondage. And we read all the way through the book of Judges and we see them being in bondage to the Ammonites, to the Philistines, to the Midianites, to the Moabites. All these people around them. We see what happens to them during this time. And so as they go through that and they go through that, it tells us what they had. And so it got to the point where God says, I'm just going to leave them there. I'm going to leave those people there to prove them. And I will say this to you. We don't like temptation. And there's always going to be a temptation specifically to idolatry. But you know, temptations are there to prove us. Temptations, one thing they do is they test us, don't they? Whether or not we're going to serve the Lord. Whether or not we're going to choose the Lord or not. Whether or not we're going to remember the instruction that the Lord said and pray after this manner and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Isn't that how He told us to pray? That we ought to be earnestly praying that we would have victory over that such temptation, that God would give us the strength, that God would give us what we need. But so often we don't. And like I said, the amazing thing is, even though we fail, God is so gracious and so merciful, just as He was to them. God brings up deliverance. God brought them judgment. And Judges 2:18, it says that God brought them judges to deliver them. It said, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed and vexed them. God, that's just God's compassion, God's mercy. That's His nature. And yet we go right away from it. But isn't it amazing? In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 31 through 34, it says, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men to crush under feet all the prisoners of the earth. Ezekiel chapter 18 verses 31 and 32 says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You know, these judges came and delivered, and that message was always the same. Turn back to God. Turn back. But they didn't do it. They got to a point to where they were looking for judges instead of looking unto the judge. That's my challenge to you today. Do you want judges? Or do you want the judge? You know, Abraham, when he was pleading, when he was pleading to God for Lot, and he said, far be it from me to slay the righteous with the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God showed amazing mercy because of the intercession of Abraham for Lot. As he prayed for Lot, his nephew. And God answered that prayer, even though God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. He delivered Lot, even though Lot didn't deserve to be delivered. And these children of Israel, as they cried out to God because of the consequences of their sin, they didn't deserve to be delivered, but God was so merciful. And that's the amazing thing about it, and this is the wonderful thing about it. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure if you die today you go to heaven, if you don't know for sure you're a child of God, even though you've rejected the gospel multiple times, yet here you are today, hearing yet again how much God loves you and how merciful He is. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. Stop trusting in yourself that you're righteous. It doesn't matter whether you're an adult. It doesn't matter whether you're a child. It doesn't matter. Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins. And if you'll repent and believe the gospel, He will save you. If you'll stop calling God a liar and admit you need a Savior, that Jesus is a Savior, and you'll put your faith and trust in Him and believe that He paid the penalty for your sins when He died on Calvary's cross, and that He rose from the dead incorruptible. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. You can call on Him to be saved. And if you're a Christian today and you're out of, you've lost out with God, in other words, you feel like you've lost out with God, you feel like you've blown it, you feel like that, we have the opportunity, and God's so merciful, isn't He? Amen. We can come back to Him today. But in America, we have a similar problem to what they did. They wanted the judges, but they didn't want the judge. They wanted somebody. It's kind of funny. You see this same principle being played out. I mean, everybody is talking about President Trump. We need President Trump. We need President Trump back. No, you don't. If politics what you need, one man ain't going to fix it. What's going to fix it? What's going to fix it? So we remember and go back to our founding documents. If the people begin to exercise their rights, if the people stand. And it's not just the federal government. It has to happen at the states. It has to happen locally. We're looking for somebody, and hey, am I saying that he can't be part of the solution? No, I'm not. But I'm simply saying, if all you're looking for is for him, he's only going to be in office for 4 years if he gets back in. He was in office for 4 years, and we saw the most particularly, we saw the revival of our economy, which is where most people are at. It's mostly about money, dollars and cents, right? It's not about liberty. It's about what I can get. It's about prosperity. But most people are just looking for this man or a man to get in office and fix what's wrong. By the way, the president isn't supposed to fix things. He's supposed to execute the law. We're getting to the point where we want our presidents to be kings. Remember Israel when they rejected the Lord and they said, we want a king. And then who'd they get? Saul. That was just a howling success, wasn't it? But that same principle, that's human nature, that's that old wicked nature, that where we forget the things that brought us true liberty and brought us the true blessing, and we're forgetting that in our culture, just like Israel forgot that their liberty, the grace, what they had, the blessings that they had, they didn't come from the judges. They came from the judge. I mean, when Gideon delivered Israel, if I remember my biblical history right, when he did that, they wanted to give him a reward, and he told them, they all gave him like a shekel of gold, and he went, I think it might have been earrings or whatever they put in. I had to go back and finish reading the book of Judges, but they bought him he made an ephod out of that gold, an ephod being a vestment like the priest has. And you know what people started doing? They started worshiping that ephod instead of God. It became a snare unto them, unto the inhabitants of Gilead. Oh, that's old Gideon's. I believe it's Gilead. I have to go back, like I said, I have to do it. Just like after a while, if you go back and you read all the way through it, you find the brazen serpent that Moses put on the rod and told the people, look and you'll live. And he held it up and they had to look at it to live. But then later they began to worship it. One of the kings of Israel had to destroy it. And he called it Nehushtan, a brazen thing. Because we have that problem. And we live in this world. We look at our culture. We look at the things that are going around our political world and the secular world. We want a judge to be raised up to take care of all our problems. But that's not the way that's what's going to fix it. And then we have Christians crying for revival and wanting somebody. Isn't it amazing how so many people, that whenever a new person pops up, and it could be Joel Osteen, it could be Joseph Prince, it could be Kenneth Hagin, it could be this person or that person. All these television preachers and people that pop up. Rick Warren or this guy. And somebody comes up and everybody runs to them. As if somehow some preacher is going to fix your problem. The only preacher that's any good is the one that is pointing you back to the Savior, back to a right relationship with God. You do not need judges. You need the judge. Amen. If we want revival, it's not going to come. Yes, God can use people. Yes, God can use pastors. Yes, He can. But what's going to make the difference is when we, as a group of people, turn back to our God. You want to preserve liberty in our nation? Turn back to our founding document. You want revival? Turn back to our founding document, to the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isn't it amazing how often it is and how often we just sit here and we miss the most important things that we need to understand because we have a culture and we build a culture that is focused on men coming to the rescue. We mock the world and we mock the things that they do, and sometimes it's almost comical. It's almost comical to see things. I mean, we have the president stand up and he thinks that, oh, it's too dangerous to have a gun in the hand of Americans. He's got his finger on a nuclear button. He thinks pretty highly of himself and pretty lowly of us, doesn't he? It's okay for him to have that because he's a good guy. He knows better than everybody else. We're all bad guys, or we're all too feeble, too poor of understanding to be able to handle a weapon. And you look at the arrogance of the things that we see that, but we're the ones that puff them up. We're the ones that puff them up to make them think that somebody, whether it's the left or the right, somebody's going to be our Savior. Somebody's going to be the one that's going to fix things the way we want it, the way we like it. Instead of going back to the documents. It's the founding documents that give us our liberties, or that outline our liberties. God gives us our liberties, but they outline our liberties, and we forget them, don't we? And we have a list of laws that if you printed them out, they'd probably fill this church. Isn't that sad? That's what our so-called judges have given us. That's what they did for Israel. They helped them out. But the problem was they never turned back to the Lord. And if we want to see revival, we've got to individually turn to the Lord. You can't be waiting on somebody to give it to you. The idea of a church having a revival, or a preacher holding a revival, that's not the revival. What they're trying to do is exhort us to revival. Exhort us to go back to the Lord. Not be looking for somebody else. You know, if you look at your life and you say, man, I'm in bad straits here. The answer is not to find somebody and put your trust in them. The answer is to put your trust in the Lord. The answer is to get into the Word of God. The answer is to believe God. The answer is to humble yourself before God. That's the answer. The answer is to stop listening to everybody else to tell you that you need some Savior, some man to take care of you. There's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. The only way we've got any access to the Father, to the throne of heaven, is through Him and through His shed blood. That's it. Why do we want to pretend we have any other way? Oh, preacher, pray for me. It'd be my pleasure and my honor. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, like Samuel said. But the best I can do is pray that God gets a hold of your heart and God's merciful to you and opens your eyes to see that you need to come. You need to go to the Lord. You need to go to Him. What are you looking for? Are you looking for judges to deliver you? Are you looking for the judge? Are you looking to judges, or are you looking to the judge? That's the question. What's your answer? Honestly, what is your answer? That's what's going to make the difference. We have a Memorial Day for what? To remember. To remember the price that's been paid. To remember what they fought and died for. To remember. God in Revelation chapter 2 is speaking unto a church at Ephesus, and speaking to the pastor and the people of that church. And he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, I'm sure they loved their judges. I'm sure they loved Gideon and Samson and Jephthah. Matter of fact, if you read through there, you will find that they loved their judges. I'm sure they loved Deborah. They loved Shamgar. They loved these people for the great service that they did. But these people only did what they did because, the Bible tells us, because God was with the judge. One person used of God can do great things. Wonder what it would be like if a multitude were used of God to do great things. But once again, we have Memorial Day to remember. And he says, nevertheless, I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Hey, you're doing good, but you forgot something. So what does God tell them? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember where you were. Remember where you started. Remember what was the starting behind this whole thing. Remember me. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And the sad thing about it is, no church in Ephesus. Ephesus is ruins. Which tells me they didn't heed the warning. They didn't remember. We need to remember. Isn't it amazing? God had delivered them out of bondage in Egypt. And they forgot. And went back into bondage. Christ Jesus died on Calvary's cross to deliver us from this wicked world, to deliver us from our sins. And yet, how easily we forget. You don't need judges. You need the judge. Which do you want is the question. Which do you want? Do you remember? Do you remember? In the book of Hebrews, and I'll close with this, he says this, I can remember the passage I'm looking for here. Let's see. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partially whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and more and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Said, remember when you got saved. Remember the battle. Remember the fight for liberty. Remember the price that was paid. Remember those things. And don't cast away your confidence. Israel put their confidence in the judges instead of putting their confidence in the judge of all the earth. Let's not make the same mistake. We're doing that politically in the United States. We're looking for somebody. Got to get a president. Got to get the best president. That isn't working out too good for us, especially lately. We might need to go back to our founding documents. And look at Christianity today. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. Looks like the Corinthian church all over again. We need not to look for judges, but to look unto the judge. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And I just pray you use the message today to work in our hearts. And Lord, if anybody hears this message, I pray that you would draw them near to you, that their heart would be turned unto you. Father, if there's one today that's lost, that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. I pray that they would look unto Jesus, that they would realize that He is their only hope of salvation, that there's nothing they can do to pay the penalty for their sins, that they must trust that He paid the penalty for their sins. And Lord, that they would call upon the Lord, that they would call out and simply ask for that gift of eternal life, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, Father, as we end the service today, I just pray that you would help each one that's here. I pray you'd help us to see that we need to get back to trusting in the Lord with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. To acknowledge you in all our ways so that you might direct our paths. Help us, we pray, to put our trust in the judge of all the earth rather than the men that you raise up to help us. Help us get to a place to where we don't need those judges because we have you. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.